Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:28 British Summer Time. Today is May 10th. Well, on Friday, a large number of markets had pulled back towards their 200-day moving averages or their progressions of higher reaction lows on massive downward dynamics last week. And they really did need to rally and if they were going to sustain their medium-term bullish outlooks. And that has occurred in here today. We've had massive upward dynamics right across asset classes, particularly in some of those the fiscally weak countries of the Eurozone periphery. In Asia this morning, the Nikkei was up 1.6%, the Hang Seng was up 2.5%, the ASX in Australia was up 2.6%, and you had pretty firm action right across the region. The Taiwanese market bounced from its 200-day moving average on Friday and improved on that in here today. The Korean market was also firmer in here, and it was a generally solid tone right across the region. India was also pretty firm and had given up a comparatively small amount of its overall advance. As we moved into European trading, the Spanish market closed up 14.4%. The FTSE was up, or sorry, the FTSE was up 5.6%, 5.16%, excuse me. The CAC was up 9%. The DAX was up 5%. The OMX in Sweden up over 6%. And as we approach the close on Wall Street, the Dow Jones is up over 3%. The Nasdaq, having rallied well off its low on Friday, was up over 4% in here today. Brazil was up 3.8%. So massive upward dynamics right across equity markets. That's putting at least a short-term low under these markets, and it's all, of course, on the news that the European governments, in tandem with the ECB, have put together a range of measures that they aim to support the sovereign debt markets in Europe. And that resulted in sovereign yields collapsing in here today, with the Greek bond falling back to 4%, having been up there in the region of 10, 11, and even 12% in the last couple of weeks. That certainly diminishes the argument that you have that you were going to have a breakup of the Eurozone. That's clearly not going to happen now, although it certainly can be ruled out at some point in the future. But the way that they've structured this aid package, it's putting a great deal of emphasis on the individual member states stumping up the cash in the eventuality of another country needing the rescue package and bringing in the IMF to ensure that those austerity measures are held onto. But the ECB are not resorting to quantitative easing, so just exactly where the money is going to come from if we do have further troubles in the periphery of the Eurozone isn't exactly clear. Until that does happen, until we do have problems in another country, and we know exactly which ones they might be because they are the ones that have also had these big moves in their yields today. But Spain, Portugal, Ireland, potentially even Italy, could be problems at some point down the road. And then the big question as to how exactly this aid package is going to be funded would come very much front and center. But for the moment, because we've had these massive upward dynamics and this real switch to sentiment in here and some massive short covering, that is putting a bid under these markets, and they've rallied really very impressively. And that move has fed through into the commodity markets as well. Oil, having been down to $75 on Friday and getting back to test the 200-day moving average and not so far away from its progression of higher reaction lows, was up $2 today. So a good solid upward dynamic from exactly the right area. Nickel also continued to improve. The copper market continues to bounce from the $3 level and is up to 322, up 8 cents in here today. Zinc was also up by $48, so really quite a strong performance on the industrial metal front. In the precious metals, palladium was up almost $20. Silver was relatively steady, closed in the middle of its range in the region of 1850. Platinum was up $28. So both platinum and palladium continue to hold their higher reaction lows. The reaction to date for palladium has been relatively equal size to that back in January, and it continues to push back up towards its highs in what remains a relatively consistent advance, albeit really quite overextended. But it does have this progression of higher reaction lows, which remain unbroken. Elsewhere in the commodity sector, the sugar market, which has been really quite oversold, has rallied by 43 cents on the US contract, or $10 in the UK, and that is also looking like it's finding support. The lumber market, which has been hit rather hard in the last couple of weeks, does appear to be steadying below this $300 level, but it again needs another upward dynamic to suggest that demand is regaining the upper hand in that particular market. The extent to which markets fell last week with that fat finger trade and the probable involvement of program traders in pushing the market down so fast and then rallying back so quickly, and then the overlay of the European moves to support their sovereign debt markets has created some extraordinary volatility in the market. And what we're looking at now is that markets have bounced really very, very sharply indeed, and they don't look like they have enough underneath them to support moves to new high ground or to significant new highs beyond where they peaked in April or early May. So once we get these big news days dropping off somewhat, then we can probably anticipate that volatility will come back down, and these markets are likely to range for a while as investors draw breath. And certainly, if we were to see some of these leaders pushing on to new high ground in no uncertain terms, then that really would suggest that markets are overheating. And one thing we know for sure is that the Eurozone won't be raising rates anytime soon. And the amount of liquidity that will remain in the European market remains very, very accommodative indeed. The euro today gave up, was a little bit stronger in the early part of the day, but it gave up its advance throughout the session to close on the lower side, and in most cases in negative territory. And it is the euro that's being sacrificed for the measures that have been put in place, because one way or another, the European economy is going to remain on life support for a while longer. The monetary conditions are going to remain extraordinarily accommodative, and quantitative easing really does remain a distinct threat to the currency, because sooner or later the various governments are going to be just put themselves under too much fiscal pressure, and in that case, there will be no other alternative than to print. The ECB's only mandate is to control inflation, but inflationary pressures are certainly not evident right now. And while some of the northern European economies are recovering considerably faster than some of the peripherals, that isn't going to allow the ECB to raise rates really anytime soon. So the euro does remain a problem currency, and the fact that it hasn't rallied to any great extent, and in fact closing down on the day against most currencies after such a large move in respective stock markets and some commodity markets, does suggest that investors are not rushing back in to buy the euro, while they are a bit more sanguine about the stock and commodity markets. And that would suggest that the euro has further to go on the downside. It remains in consistent downtrends, particularly against some of those commodity-related currencies such as the Norwegian crown or the Australian dollar or the Canadian dollar. And it would need to sustain upward dynamics for more than a week or two to really suggest that something has changed in the supply-demand relationship between the euro and most other currencies. With today's upward dynamics, we can probably give the benefit of the doubt to the upside over the medium term, but in the short term, the market remains really quite volatile. We have another now higher reaction low to monitor in the progressions of higher reaction lows for the vast majority of stock markets that have been ongoing since October and November 2008 for the leaders and since March of last year for some of the laggard markets. The USA has been a beneficiary over the last few months of the demise of interest in the Eurozone, and it has outperformed really quite considerably, and the dollar by comparison to the euro has been a very steady currency. So that is certainly a positive for the USA's ability to attract the inward investment that it needs to meet its various deficits. And looking at the screen right now, we can still see that despite the very large moves we've had over the last week, the Dow Jones is still in positive territory, up 2.97%, whereas the Stoxx 50 is down 6% in euro terms, 6.9% in euro terms, and 17% in dollar terms. And that's a marked difference in their respective performances in a single currency, which would suggest that the USA remains a comparative safe haven for those who are purely investing between Europe and the USA, and those two choices of major cap markets. So that remains a positive, and it also suggests that the Wall Street leash effect is also a positive. So while we've had this incredible volatility and the fear factor among investors has certainly gone up over the last few weeks, progressions of higher reaction lows for the vast majority of stock markets remain very much intact. And provided that remains the case, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside, and last week's lows are now the latest touchstone in that progression. Last week, safe havens really attracted an incredible amount of interest, and US Treasuries, the Japanese yen, the dollar, and gold all surged. And by Friday, the yen, the dollar, and Treasuries, and indeed gilts and bunds, were already losing some of that investor interest. But gold held on to the vast majority of its advance on Friday, and having been as low as $1,184 in here today, it actually closed back above the $1,200 level for the second consecutive trading session. I think the last time, I may be incorrect, but I think the last time that gold traded above $1,200, it only closed above that level for three sessions. So it's already closing in on the record level on a closing basis. And the fact that it retraced so much of today's decline is a positive for the yellow metal. And when we compare it to the other safe havens, it's got a lot more underneath it. So the gold market it looks like it can support higher levels and looks in a better position to do so than a lot of other markets, irrespective, or probably because of this increased volatility and overextension and then reversion to the means that have happened in such sharp order over the last week. The uncertainty level has certainly risen in other assets, but gold has been a tower of strength and is really showing its credentials as the ultimate safe haven. So gold does have a lot of potential in this environment, and it's being supported by action in the other precious metals. So we may be in for additional upside in gold, and probably it's a less risky trade than are currently available in other asset classes. US Treasuries were down over a point in here today. They were as low as 120.05, but that's 5:30 seconds, but paired that decline and closed much closer to 121. But that was an accelerated advance we saw last week, and the treasury market really is overextended in the short term, so it does have further potential to decline. Personally, I have an in the money stop on my position just because I don't want to become victim to the increased volatility that we have, but they do look like they can come lower from here. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, but wish all the best to all of you.